listening to the teaching ministry of Uxbridge Baptist Church. If you would like to learn more about how we can be of service to you, please visit us at www.uxbridgebaptist.com.
Well, I find that to be a beautiful way of expressing the skill and talent of the artist in worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and telling the story of his willing suffering on our behalf to bring us forgiveness and to bring us life. And that really is the theme for us today. You may remember that last week we had the privilege of having Anise Vaqueria here. Anise is here today. Another privilege today, Anise, I guess. We had him on the platform last week, and Anise was sort of demonstrating the use of God-given skills in order to worship God. And that has been that's a theme, really, that we want to carry on into this week. Each of us has something that God has given us for one another. And that really is a beautiful thing. And I want to challenge you in a strong way today that you give serious consideration for how God calls you to serve the body that Jesus loves. The body that he has died for, that he's given everything for. You know, many of us, it's well known, many of us are chasing happiness but not finding it, right? There are many reasons for this. Many, of course, have mistakenly adopted the wrong goals in life, thinking somehow that they will bring true happiness. And it's often money, fame, power, social status. These are widely portrayed as keys to good life that are truly going to fulfill you and finally make you happy. But of course, the story turns out differently. And for many people, all of those, they remain unhappy, some even suicidal, wondering if there's anything left in this life for them. Money, fame, power, social status, they're all excellent resources, but they are flawed as goals for life. There is a psychologist whose name is Michael Austin, who has written an interesting article entitled The Quest for Success and Happiness. It was published in Psychology Today, a well-known psychology magazine. Journal, and it presents a solution to finding true success and lasting happiness in life. He presents it in something that has been called the 3D approach to life, and it kind of unfolds simply this way. Firstly, discover your positive talents, and then secondly, develop your most meaningful and beneficial talents. Develop them. And thirdly, deploy. Deploy your talents in the world for the good of others and for your own good. And the psychological import of all of this is this. If we discover and develop the talents that we have and we're consistent with what we know to be good and valuable, we are well on our way to genuine success and happiness. Rather than focusing on how we might make a name for ourselves, or how we might amass great treasures, we should be focusing on discovering, developing, and deploying our talents and abilities. Austin says, when we do this, we will find our impact on the world to be much greater than we even thought possible, and we will find that happiness that endures. Well, I believe that to be true. But not just because modern psychology has finally discovered it, but because the Bible has taught us about it for thousands of years. It really is the way God has made us, and God has very clearly told us this is the truth. Last week we looked at the beauty of God, the glory of God, and how the glory of God is displayed in all of creation, including ourselves, and how God has called us to behold that glory. Today I want us to just move on a little bit further and say that we have been created to create. We've been created in order that we might reflect the glory of God in our own creations. And I want to roll out a little bit of this, but the purpose of all of this is to challenge you specifically to take what God has given you, the glorious Creator, what He has given you, and to bring into life, and to bring into full, beautiful, glorious expression what God has intended. I'll make the first claim that God makes us in order that we might be makers of beautiful things. God makes us to be makers of beautiful things. And the first text that we'll look at before we go to our primary text this morning is this one, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10, many of you could recite this. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It is the fact that God has in advance set a design within us, and God has prepared for us works that we are to do. We're created in Christ for those. So the question for us today is this: what has God made you to make? What has God made you? How has He gifted you, and how are those gifts serving His purpose? This is a serious contemplation for disciples who want to honor their Lord, who want to say, just as Mark and Oliver did today, for me, I put down the marker and I say, from this point on, I am following Jesus Christ, and my life finds its significance, its dignity, and its meaning in Him, as He's glorified in my life. That's what the follower of Christ wants to do. So the question is, what has God made you to make? I'm going to ask our ushers if you would take those cards that are available in the back, and I'm going to ask you to distribute those to everyone who's here, if you would. These are our regular communication cards, but on them is, this is a good way for you to indicate to us how you believe God wants to use you in the context of God's beautiful bride here. How is it that God has gifted you? And I want you to take some time as we walk through our time this morning to pray and to ask God to show you what is it that He's calling you to do. And this is not recruitment season at Uxbridge Baptist Church. If you're already dismissing me on this level, then let me dismiss that. What we're doing here is we are referring to the word of our Lord, who said to us, we are to be His servants. And the one who is the servant of all, the servant of the least, this is the one who is greatest in the kingdom. And maybe you're already in that place of service, and I celebrate that. But I believe that there is more that the Lord wants to say to us. And so would you just allow yourself to be open to hear what God is saying to you today? We need to discover, develop, and deploy the gifts that God has given. I want to draw your attention to a text that I think is a significant text that offers us teaching along these lines. It's a story of Moses. And under Moses' leadership, it's actually a story about the development, the building of the tabernacle. The first place where God's presence resides amongst His people in an extraordinary fashion. It's Moses. He has ascended to the top of Mount Sinai, and God has just given him detailed instructions concerning the building of the tabernacle. And now in Exodus 31, you can take your Bibles and turn there. Exodus 31. I'm going to have us look at the first few verses of Exodus 31. Here, God is giving Moses instructions on how the building of the tabernacle and all of its intricate detail is to be accomplished. And would it surprise you that God intends to do His work through His people? I don't think so. Verse 1 of Exodus 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, and to cut and to set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. And I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you. It's really quite an interesting passage. I believe it's good for us to be reminded that God, our Creator, the source of all creativity, has poured His creativity into us. And in creating human beings in His own image, He gave men and women and children gifts of creativity also. Gifts that are meant to build the things that God has called us to build, to beautify our world, to seek the holiness of one another. Let me just spell out a few of the lessons that we can further draw from this passage. The second thing I believe that comes from this text is this: God chooses how He distributes gifts. Just notice, God is the one who chooses how He distributes gifts. Verse 1 and 2 again. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel." I have chosen him. You know, God has purpose. And God actively sets His sights on individuals to see His work done. The word translated chosen in this verse is a word that means called or commissioned. This is not something that is general for everyone. It's specific individuals are called to these specific tasks, commissioned for the task. You've heard of people commissioning a work of art to be done, but here God commissions Bezalel, son of Uri, for the work of overseeing the building of this most important building or structure, the tabernacle. He's gifted Bezalel specifically for this task. Now, we find this all the way through Scripture. We certainly find our New Testament counterparts to this. It's true of spiritual gifts that God has given us in Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is who we are because we're made to be by God. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul gives he lists a number of the gifts, and then he says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He gives them to each one just as He determines. In other words, God chooses and God gives. Hebrews 2 and verse 4 says a similar kind of thing. It speaks of gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. So the fact here is God does give gifts as He chooses. But spiritual gifts are only one example of this. God is the giver of all gifts and skills and talents, and He chooses to give them to whom His will sees fit. God did not create us all the same. Aren't you glad for that? I think so. God did not create everyone the same. To some, He gives artistic ability. To others, musical ability. To others, the ability to make things with their hands. It's just extraordinary what God has given us to do. And in His wisdom, He gave you exactly the creative gifts that He wanted you to have. Your gifts are part of who you are. They're part of the person that God has created you to be. And you should receive those gifts with thanksgiving and use them to the best, the absolute best of your ability to glorify God. Now, I want to pause for a moment and just express my deep gratitude and the deep gratitude of our leaders here and really all of us for all of you and the way that God has gifted you to do His work here. This is not a lone ranger task. We are in this together. And God really has, I have to tell you, I just kind of sit back every now and again and I think about the people who are in this congregation and the wonderful way God has gifted you and the way you bring that forward to contribute to the health and the advance of this church. And I am truly thankful for that. So I want us just to take a moment to celebrate that. Maybe you have someone or something in mind. I don't want you to mention names here, but what I want you to do is if you might just mention for us some of those things where you see a gifted person, gifts at work amongst us in the life of this church. So let's name the gifts, not the ones who are gifted. Let's name the gifts that we see displayed that are a blessing to us. Music. There was one, sorry. Compassion,
hospitality,
leadership,
prayer,
absolutely,
teaching,
administration, so critical,
mentorship,
Forgiveness. Do you know what? Sorry, I missed that one.
Decorative.
Decorative. Beautifying things.
Encouragement.
There are all kinds of gifts and talents. And you know what? We are enriched. I do have people who come to me every now and again, and they say to me, you know, there's something special about this place. And they're not referring to the physical surroundings, actually. They're referring to this body of believers. And they say, there's something really special here. I don't know how to lay my finger on it and say exactly what it is, but there's something special about what God is doing here and about the people that are here. That's beautiful. And I believe God wants to do more and more of this. We have people who teach all ages with great sacrifice and great joy in doing these things. Sharing the faith, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We have people who are engaged in discipleship and doing a wonderful job. Music, as we've said. Audiovisual. Do you know what would happen if the audiovisual cut out? We would end up with some troubles. Their communications, facilities. Just, do you know how much effort goes into just the upkeep of this building? Beautifying the place. We have people who work with flowers and decorations. And trust me, you don't want me doing that task, but we've got the right people who are doing that. And it's amazing. Leadership, shepherding, administration. It's just becoming more and more intensive, the kinds of administrative support that needs to be given here in the life of the church. Giving is a gift that God has given to individuals in the church. Now, we're all givers, and we all ought to be sacrificial givers, but there are those that God has given the special task of giving. And then there are the challenges and the gifts to deal with those, the financial matters in the life of our church. Life group leadership, caring and all of that, missions, encouragement, and on and on and on it goes. We have so much to be thankful for, and I'm very, very pleased with all of this. But I still have to share with you this. I have to share this deep conviction that I don't believe we're at the place that we ought to be. In our own development and employment of the giftedness that God has given us as the body of Christ, as we seek his glory. I don't think that we're at the place that we really ought to be. Let me move on. The third statement I think that we must draw from this text is this. God gives knowledge, skill, ability, and craftsmanship. God really does. He gives all of these things. Just look again at verses 2 and 3. God says, see, I've chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. And then it lists with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts. This was a pretty amazing guy, actually. Apparently this man was a master craftsman. He was filled with the Spirit of God in all of these ways for the purpose, the primary purpose of building the tabernacle. God had clearly chosen him and set him apart for this task long before it had been revealed to Moses. God has a plan. So Moses didn't just walk down the mountain and then all of a sudden he finds that Bezalel could suddenly do all of these things. That's not the way it worked. God had been working in him all the way along. God had been preparing him. And Bezalel would have had to work hard to develop these gifts and these skills and this understanding. And still, God had chosen him for this task with this mind, filled him with his Spirit, and gave him these gifts. Now, we're not all going to be like Bezalel. It seems to me he was an extraordinarily gifted man. You and I will probably not attain to the same level of skill and mastery and of the breadth that he obviously had. And that's okay. God not only chooses in this way and gave Bezalel, but he gave gifts for others to join him and support. God chooses those to whom he gives gifts. God also chooses how much of any gift he gives, and all of it is to be given for his glory. The point is this, whatever knowledge, whatever skill, whatever ability that God has given us, it is for his glory. James 1 and 17 says this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. You see something good? You see something noteworthy in someone else, in yourself? It comes from God. Paul said this to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? We need to take that to heart. What do you have that you did not receive? The one who's given it requires something of you. God is the giver of all good gifts, and we should never take a wrongful pride as though somehow our gifts and talents are the product of our own doing. Do you have skill in a certain area? Do you have knowledge in a certain area? Special abilities? God is the giver of all of these things. It comes from Him. And God gave you your creative abilities to honor Him. Here's another thing that we need to take to heart today. Fourth thing I think we can draw from our text, it's this. God gives a wide variety of creative gifts. Wide variety. We've just listed so many of these that God has given to Bezalel. He wasn't just given one gift, the ability to work with gold, for instance. He was skilled in many media, gold, silver, bronze. He knew how to cut stones. He knew how to place them in beautiful settings. He understood carpentry. He understood how to work with wood. Apparently, he knew much more. It's kind of like the verse sort of just trails off there as though more and more could be listed, but that's enough for now to give us the point. He was an amazing craftsman. God had given a wide variety of gifts, and that in just one person. In the New Testament, we're told God gives a great variety of gifts to His body, the church. Romans 12 and verse 6. We all have different gifts according to the grace given us. God has given us this great diversity of gifts. We have what we need. God has resourced us to be the people, to have the witness, to make the impact that God has designed for us. He is such a great giver, and He gives with such wisdom and so liberally that we have no want in this matter. In fact, I truly believe the Church of Jesus Christ is gifted in such a unique and powerful way that we ought to be on display for the world to see the glory of God, unlike any other organization on the face of the planet. I truly believe that. Every person here today is a creative person. It's true. So every time you put part of yourself into a task or a project, you're being creative, expressing the creative glory of God. Every time you organize or decorate something, every time you problem solve, every time you inject humor into a humorless situation, you are being creative and you're bringing forward what God has given you. Every time you apply the knowledge and the ability and the skill that God has given you to the task at hand, that is something that reflects the glory of God, brings worship to His name. So when you think about creativity, don't just limit it to the arts, as wonderful as they are. God gives a wide variety of creative gifts, and we need to see them at work amongst us. And then there's this, I think, too, drawn from this text in the final verse, verse 6. God's gifts have a definite purpose. As I've said, God has design. He's got a plan. There is a master architect who knows what needs to be done and when, and he's working it out. And it's ours to receive what He gives us and to do our part. God's gifts have a definite purpose. Look at verse 6 there, where God expands on the creative task for building the tabernacle that task that he's given to Bezalel under Moses. He says, "Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you." God has called for it. God's gifts, God's creative gifts, have a purpose. God really does intend that the world would know the love of God for the world as it is given creative display in the life of the church. It's as we care for one another, serve one another, it's as we seek the glory of God here that the world actually is to say, they're of Christ. They know Christ, and Christ knows them, and the Spirit of God is at work in them. How are we doing? God gives creative gifts for a purpose. And how about for New Testament believers today? We're looking at this prime Old Testament text where God is doing a very significant work in the life of Israel and in the history of the unfolding of God's goodness as the tabernacle is being built. But what about for today? Let's come back to that verse that I read right at the outset, Ephesians 2 and 10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, you take that to heart, and you have to say, that is awesome. That is really awesome. Just as Bezalel and Aholiab produced quality workmanship for the tabernacle, you are the workmanship of Almighty God. And God has not only prepared specific works for you to do, but he's created you with a specific skill set necessary to see it done. Make no mistake about it. God's gifts have a purpose. Let me summarize this. First, God creates us. God has made us to reflect his creative expression. God has made us to create. And God has chosen to whom he gives gifts. And God does give us all that we need, skill, ability, knowledge, craftsmanship, a wide variety of created gifts. And God has done all of this for his specific purpose. So let me ask, what should our response be if this is the truth? If this really is who we are and what God has done for us, what should our response be? Let me suggest to you these things. Number one, thank God. Thank God for the creative gifts that he has given you. You know, some people, I find, put down their own gifts. As though somehow what God has given them is just not up to snuff. It's just not good enough. And you know, we get into that sort of that nasty comparison game that is never fruitful. And we say, well, I'm just not enough. No. Thank God for the creative gifts he has given. Don't envy the gifts of others. Don't boast in your own gifts. What have you got that you haven't received? But rather, thank God for the gracious, specific gifts that he's given you. And do it with a spirit of humility. Do it with a spirit of wonder. Do it with a spirit of being commissioned. God has a task for me. One reason why I believe there is so much room for growth in our fellowship in this area is because we so easily give into the notion that we really don't have anything to contribute. That just flies in the face of the truth that God has been revealing to us this morning. You have something incredible to give. Here's the second part of our response. It's this. Use and develop those creative gifts. Don't leave them dormant. If you have a sharp mind, use it. Develop it. If you have the ability to produce something beautiful with your hands, then do that. Produce those things. Work hard. Develop those gifts. See them come into fruitful engagement in the life of the church. The Bible does tell us, those to whom much is given, much will be required. There's an accountability in this. God does not give us gifts that they might be wasted. Take the gifts that God has given, develop them to the best of your ability. Use them in loving service for God's people. Use them for the honor of God, the glory of God, and others. You know what? I want to risk this. I want to risk listing a few other reasons why the church fails to maximize her God-giftedness. Why is it that we don't rise up into this? And here are some of the things that I hear. You know, I think people live for today because they don't believe that they can make a difference for eternity. We get into that space. We don't actually believe we can make a difference for eternity. So we turn our focus to those things that might make a little bit of a difference in the here and now. And we do it in all kinds of ways. I want to suggest to you, we spend far too much time on things that don't make an eternal difference. We spend far too much time on things that will pass before you know it. And we don't spend near enough energy, near enough resource on things that really will stand forever. Live today for eternity. Here's another reason. You know, there's another reason why I feel we don't maximize our God-giftedness. Somehow we feel that we're not needed. Maybe that's because we feel that everybody else, you know, is better gifted than I am and they can do it better than I can or whatever it may be. And again, we're denying the truth that God has given us, that we have been gifted specifically for a task particular to ourselves. No one else can do it. No one else can do what God has called you to do. No one else is gifted for that. Then there's another thing, and this is one that I'm speaking to you as a pastor here, but I believe I'm reflecting the life, the truth of Scripture. I think there are some people who believe they don't need to use their giftedness in the context of the church. So, well, if I just use my giftedness wherever I happen to be, then that's fine. You know, I can use my giftedness out there, but I want to remind you that the Spirit of God has a task that he's doing now, and that is to beautify the Church of Jesus Christ. Paul labors in order that he might make holy a bride for Christ. There's something about elevating the people who have committed themselves to Christ, serving them, loving them in Jesus' name, because we know the bridegroom is coming and the bride needs to be all that she can be for him. There's something about that that gives a more powerful witness to the world of life eternal, of grace of God that's being poured out in us than anything else we can imagine. It's to demonstrate the love of God fully consistently with the purpose of God. And there's something about the people of God where that needs to be focused. I'm not saying exclusively, I'm just saying God has given you something for the church. And here's another one, I think, why we fail to do this, because many of us find it hard to exercise our gifts in a way that coordinates with other gifts. Because there are other people who just don't, you know, they're hard to coordinate with. They're hard to get along with. Or maybe it's me. Somehow it gets to be difficult. You know, there's often a matter of gift arrogance, right? I have this gift. And just make some space for me because I need to display my gift, right? God doesn't give gifts that way. God only gives gifts that actually call us together, bring us together. And they only function when it releases others into their own beautiful God-giftedness. That's the gifting of God. Sometimes it's simply a matter of impatience. I can't take the time that it takes, you know, to work with that group of people to get through that passage, to get to the place where the gift can actually be expressed. God, who's infinitely patient with us, calls us to be patient with one another and see it through. Well, how do we respond? We respond this way. Use and develop your creative gifts that God has given. One last thing I want to say to you this morning. I hope that you are willing to open your heart to hear this. One last thing that I believe is true throughout all of Scripture, it's this. God deserves our first and our best. God deserves our first and our best. That's what it is to take the gifts with gladness that he has given us and use them for his own glory. He deserves our first and our best. Colossians 3, 23 and 24, those two verses say it so well. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. It is the Lord Christ. He deserves your first and your best. We should bring our creative gifts to bring glory to God in all the areas of life. All the areas of life. I want to make a request of you today. I believe God wants to make a request of us today. I want to ask that you prioritize the work of the church in your life. I want to ask that you cherish the work of the church. that you cherish the preaching of the gospel and you cherish the sharing of Christ's love amongst us. You cherish the work of the Spirit. I want to ask that you prioritize this. There are lots of things that bring you joy, but I want to ask you prioritize this. This is His church. I want to ask this of you. I want to ask you to focus your life more on eternity than you're doing now. I want to ask you to take those next few steps that would demonstrate even more clearly and powerfully in your own life that you're committed to God's eternity and how it spills over from our future hope into our current life. I believe God really wants to ask us that. I want to ask you this. I want to ask you to give more. I just want to ask you to give more. You'll never be so blessed as someone who's been entrusted with resources than if you give them as God calls to God's purposes. So I want to ask you to give more. In fact, I want to ask you to work less out there. And I want to ask you to volunteer more. And I want to ask you to give more. Because I believe God is worth our first and our best. And I believe God's people are worth our first and our best. So I'm asking. I want to ask you to do the very hard, even the frustrating and maddening work of being sure that your gifts are at work contributing to the health and beauty of the Church of Jesus Christ. Salvation will not come to the world through our education system. Trust me, salvation will not come to the world through our political system. It's not going to happen. Our banking system will not bring the kingdom of God here. All of the sports and leisure and movies and videos and all of that, it will not bring the kingdom of God, but it will come through the Church of Jesus Christ. Because God has so determined it, He's made the choice, and He's given the gifts, and He will persevere through to the end. I want to ask you to do the hard work of contributing to the health and beauty of the Bride of Christ. I want to wrap up with this. When I was 4 or 5 years old, yes, there was a time. When I was 4 or 5 years old, I was visiting my grandparents' farm, and my grandfather had a pickup truck out in the field, and I was playing in that pickup truck when I was 4 or 5. And I really didn't know what I was doing, but he had left the keys in the ignition. Funny thing about farmers, hey? He left the keys in the ignition. And I didn't really know what I was doing, but I broke the key off right there in the ignition of his truck. I didn't understand it to be a big deal. I think it's important part of the story to know that I really was a charming, adorable 4 or 5-year-old, but my grandfather was really unhappy with me. And you ask the question, why, right? Why would he be unhappy? Because that one little piece of metal, inexpensive, that one little piece of metal was broken and it was in the wrong place. And it meant that the whole beautiful truck and everything it was meant to do was completely out of commission. That one little piece. Now, I'm not saying that one person out of alignment is going to shut down the operation of God's church. I'm not saying that. But I am saying one little piece is not, it can never be discounted. It always has a crucial place. In fact, if I could say, there is no insignificant piece. It always makes a huge difference. I really want to be honest with you. I believe that there is no good reason why we at Uxbridge Baptist Church should not be bringing even greater glory to God right here and right now. I really don't believe there's any good reason at all. I believe we have a wonderful gospel to share that is life-changing. And I believe we have the Spirit of God who's amongst us, who actually gives power, who is the one who gives life. And I believe he's gifted the church for precisely the circumstances we face right now. And I believe God knew it all along. And so with all of that, I cannot believe that there is any good reason why we should not be bringing greater glory to God than what we are. Unless we choose otherwise. I just want to ask that you join us. I want to ask that the one who is beautiful in himself and is beautiful to behold and has called us as the ultimate calling on our lives to behold his glory, that he is also the one who's created us to carry out his good works. I want to ask you to join us in work. Let's, in full confidence, move forward that our efforts are not in vain. God will bless. There are people outside these walls this morning who need to know what you know in your heart. And I believe somehow you're key to that. And there are those who are running around here, damaging our building and doing all kinds of things, who need to grow in Christ and who need to have the truth taught to them. And there's somebody sitting right next to you who's having a real hard time in their lives right now, and they need the word of encouragement that you alone can speak and the service you alone can give. And the hope that God has appointed you to pronounce. I believe God will bless, and together we can make a difference for all of eternity. Would you bow together with me? Let's pray. Our Father, it is just a soul-stirring thing to know that you have invested so amazingly in us, unworthy, undeserving as we are, and that you've called us to offer our service to you, and you've given us such a dignity. Lord, we just don't know how to express it, but we plead with you, God. We plead with you that you would do the eternal thing. We plead with you that you would do those things of true life in us and cause us to be those who live for eternity, who live for the unseen God, whose lives are not limited to what we see with our natural eye, but what we see with the eyes of the heart opened by your Spirit. God, change us. We pray that we here would be notable to Uxbridge and the area because of our love for Jesus. Let it be. Lord God, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.